very good. A couple of, we're going to be in Ephesians, chapter 1 here this morning. But before we do, a couple of public service announcements, I guess we'll say it that way. First off, obviously the only way that this new arrangement that we're going to be living in for the next 2 weeks or so will work is obviously if everybody actually follows it. So I want to encourage us, even if you disagree or if you think it's too much hype or whatever, to do our best to follow what our governor has requested. Certainly they're trying to stop this sooner than later. And I think the quicker that more of us stay home, the quicker that will be accomplished. And along those lines, as they have said, boy, there's been like almost hourly news releases, news presses, as far as from the White House and from the governor and even local county health departments. If you are elderly, and I finally heard somebody declare what elderly was, or older, I believe was how they used the word. It was 60 is what one person said. I think it might have been the Peoria County Health Department person. If you are 60 and over, they really strongly encourage you not to leave your house. Or someone even commented, if you feel like you are 60 and over. In other words, if you're under 60, but because of your health issues or whatever, to do your best just to stay home. And that being said, obviously, if you are in that age bracket or medical bracket and you need something, please let us know. Please text, call, whatever. And we'll see if we can coordinate those, whatever it is that you need. If it means running to the store and grabbing something, as long as it's not toilet paper, we can do that for you. And but just let everybody know, and I would just encourage us as a church, kind of use maybe even that closed group, the Faith on the Vine Facebook page, if you're on it, to kind of share any needs that we have, kind of keep in contact with each other throughout the week. And if you're not on Facebook, obviously you can text or call as well. But we do want to encourage each of us to help in whatever capacity we can. That being said as well, just a quick reminder, and you've heard this probably way too many times the last week, but don't forget to wash your hands. That the wonderful pump that is now liquid gold is beneficial if you are out and about. You know, you're shopping, the first thing that we do after shopping, this is pretty much year-round, after we shop is we get some of that and we wipe our hands down. If you are going to eat, or if your eye really itches, or whatever it is, I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to wash your hands. Don't just use that. I don't trust the hand sanitizer enough. I encourage you not to as well for eating purposes, but for an immediate, no running water's close by, and you want to feel sanitary after being out and about, certainly take that in that regard as well. Then as well, a last public announcement that I think is worthwhile for all of us. If the weather cooperates and if your health does as well, I do encourage you to get out and about. Not to the stores, not to any places that where the public are gathering, but go for a walk, sit in your front yard, your backyard, whatever it is. Even if it's you have to bundle up, like today is not very warm. If you have to bundle up and spend some time outdoors, I think that is kind of beneficial for our own health. Beneficial many times for our own sanity if we're stuck in the house for too many days. And so if you have opportunities, just go outside, take a walk. If you need a reason to walk, you can drive by our house. We have a dog that is tireless in walks. Certainly there are many others that probably have dogs of the same. But we encourage you to just be outside. Again, not gathering in groups, not going to public places, but just enjoy the outdoors. And I think it helps get your perspective back on our God and the Creator. And kind of quiets our hearts at times just going for a walk, even if it's just up the road and back. And so just want to encourage you to do that, just finding ways to find some sanity in simple ways. Obviously, the greatest way is with our God in His Word and going in that regard as well. Well, here, a situation that we have now that we have to figure out how to work out in our own Christianity is how do we live out the Christian walk in quarantine? How do we live out the one another? I believe there's 59 one another's total one another commands in the New Testament. Many of those are repeats. I think love one another in so many different fashions is repeated six or seven times, and so that's part of those 59. But it seems like there's about 36 unique commands of one another that we are to be doing to one another. All of them are ultimately hands-on, face-to-face. You can't really accomplish it in any other way. Well, obviously, in our current scenario, that is being discouraged. And we don't want to have a Christianity that locks our doors of our homes and we hear from our presence is gone completely. We still have a tremendous opportunity to be able to encourage and one of all the other one and others, but we just have to figure out how to do it from a distance. And I want to encourage us to figure that out. I want to encourage us to use whatever resources we have, and it may just be a phone call. Make a phone call. Find somebody to call every day or someone to text if you're more comfortable in that regard. But there are certain things that we can do to continue on to an extended point, accomplishing the Christian walk, we'll say it this way, out loud, even though we are confined in our own homes. You know, the reality is that the majority of the Word of God was actually written in time frames of, to use the same word, quarantine. Much of the Old Testament was written either before, right before, during, for much of it, or immediately thereafter a captivity. The New Testament, letters from Paul were written while he was ultimately, and it can be debated, sometimes more quarantined than others. Seems like at times he was just under a house arrest. But Paul, many of his letters were written while he was forced by the government to be separated from the rest of the body of Christ. And yet we have in those letters some great truths for us in regards to living out our Christianity out loud, even when we can't be face-to-face. Living out our Christianity so that it's still evident. It's still getting the word out. We even put it this way. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. What if this was the last week? How will we end this last week here on this earth before eternity with our Lord? How will we live this week in fulfilling our responsibilities while we're here on this earth? I know, honestly, it sounds kind of nice to be able to sit at home and not have to go anywhere and not be able to go to work and so on and so forth. Those sounds like some blessings at times, some great confusion on how to continue on at times as well. But if this were our last week and we should live each week as if it were, how can we continue on our work, our ministry, even in quarantine, even at a social distancing, a great word that will be forever known from 2020. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. In fact, I intended on going farther than these two verses here this morning, but I'm going to stop at those two verses. I know it's going to be a lot harder to pay attention when you're at your home. There's a lot more distractions than there are perhaps in this room. So I'm going to try to keep it short. No guarantees on that, but we want to just look at two verses here. Let me read them. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says this, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Before we dive quickly into those two verses, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you again for your word. I thank you for just these two verses written from a man who ultimately was also quarantined, separated from the rest of the body of Christ. And the truths that he has shared with us certainly apply today for us. And I just pray that you would give us certainly your grace, excuse me, your wisdom this morning as we look at your word. Pray you allow me to decrease so that you alone would increase. And I just pray that you be honored as we look to your word now. I pray that the truths will be clear to our lives, to our hearts, to our feet. And we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. First part of verse 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith." Now, it is believed that Paul is in Rome, and obviously this church is in Ephesus. To kind of give an idea, in fact, I gave my wife a map, and if maybe Caitlin can zoom in on the screen here, it might be better just to see it. If you're on Facebook, an attachment should be coming in a comment. But here is a map of the United States, and you can see the circle. If you can see very well, there's like a blue dot approximately where Toulon is right now. And then there is a circumference, a circle, that specifically is 835 miles from the center of Toulon. And so as you look at that circle, if we could say that the blue dot or Toulon is where Paul is in Rome, Ephesus was 835 miles away, which would mean everything that is within that circle is within the vantage point of the distance between Paul and the church. If you can see on there, it looks like we're pretty much from south of us, pretty much all the way to the panhandle of Florida. We hit all the way to the east coast, missing, Vermont and all those small northeastern states, New England states. We go well up into Canada, and then to the west we go out to certainly Oklahoma, parts of Texas, including Denver, and what else we have going on over there? The Dakotas, Minnesota, obviously Wisconsin, all of those states. That is the range that Paul has from them in Ephesus. And when we read these verses here, we need to keep in mind of that range. And keep in mind that this is before television, this is before radio, this is before the internet, this was long before Zuckerberg ever thought of the Facebook or any other kind of social media. It was that kind of range that Paul writes these words. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, granted, it is probable that he heard by person. We know that there were traveling ministers. We know Timothy was one of them that would report kind of to Paul what was going on in the different churches. We also know that there were letters being written, obviously this being one of the letters being written back to Paul or from Paul. And we have reference that many were writing to Paul there in Rome. But he says here that he has heard of their faith. I can guarantee you that the church of Ephesus did not write to Paul and say, hey, we've got some amazing faith we've got to tell you about. But what is intriguing to me is that a man that was 835 miles away from Ephesus knew this about them. They were living out faith. They were living out a faith that was obvious to him. In fact, so obvious that he commends them for it. And as I'm challenged by the very reality of us as Christians being separated from each other and certainly the body of Christ as a whole, certainly as church members interacting with each other, can we encourage each other to live out such a faith that those even, again, and we're not trying to make it so that those people in Denver know what we're doing here in Toulon. I mean, that's not our objective. But that map is just a reminder of us to us that this is something that is a faith that is being lived out loud. In fact, my first point there is a noisy faith. And when I say noisy faith, I'm not talking about the noise that is going on around us today. I'm not talking about the chaos that just seems to be, even in many of the newscasts, that seems to be given out. I'm not talking about the aspect of confusion and just turmoil that's what's going on. But a noisy faith that is a faith that is being lived out in such a way that others are aware of it, even from a distance. Now, in the letters to the churches in Revelation, as John, ironically, who also was in exile, wrote from this vision of letters to churches, he addresses the church of Ephesus. And in verse 2 in Revelation chapter 2, it says, I know thy works. Just the ergon, it's just that aspect of labor, of works. But he said, I know thy works and thy labor. Now, that was what seemed many times synonymous. Works and labor. It seems to be the same word in our English. But yet in the Greek, it's a very different word. Works, again, is that ergon. It has that idea of kind of like an ergonomic. It has that idea of the aspect of work. Whereas a labor literally is a word that has the idea of beating, of being beaten. It has that idea and the concept, the underlying concept behind this labor is the concept of crying out. In other words, it's not just that they were working and they were hard workers, but in their work of the faith, it was a great burden. It was a great trial, even to the point of being beaten down and crying out for the Lord's strength, for the Lord's help. But they continued on. In fact, notice the next phrase here in verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Or literally, their endurance. Their endurance, even though things weren't easy, they continued on. Now, I find that very applicable for our noisy faith today. Because if we are going to live out a faith that is out loud, that is avoiding the chaos and the confusion and the turmoil that surrounds us in this very moment, in this very day, we have to have not only the reality that our labor at times is going to be sacrificial, our labor to accomplish this is going to be of great sacrifice, but it is going to require great endurance to do it. And Paul is, John is commending, actually the Lord is commending this church in regards to their work and their endurance in the work, even though tears, even though pain was involved. They lived out such an out loud faith that they continued on. And then notice it also says, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which are, say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now I can tell you this. It is during these times that many times discernment drops. It's during these times when we're not able to be together. It's during these times when Paul is not able to be there with the church in Ephesus. It's during these times when we aren't able to be together that a lot of times we begin to let our guard down. We get comfortable. We get more comfortable with the world and our actions, our thoughts begin to drift from where they ought to be. Our affections no longer set on things above. Here is a church that is being commended not only for their work. They were working for the Lord, their commitment, their labor, and the fact that it was costing them. It was a sacrifice. There was a physical, literal harm even in continuing on. But they continued to endure, and they didn't let their discernment drop. There were those that claimed to be those of great authority in the church, and it was this church of Ephesus that would determine whether or not they were liars. And then they were bold enough to declare, that guy's a liar. It was during a time frame that Paul is commending them of, hey, I'm encouraged by your faith. I believe it's because of their works and their endurance in it and their discernment. The very next verse, verse 3, kind of takes that same list and reverses it, kind of gives greater detail. And has borne, or in essence, endured, and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and has not fainted. What a reminder that is for us in regards to living out our faith out loud. You know, the current situation is not convenient. Not convenient at all. In fact, I have a conference call this afternoon to figure out how we're going to do insurance for the next 2.5 weeks. From our homes and figure out those details. And I know that sounds insignificant, but for each one of us, there are sacrifices involved. There's things that just, they're not as convenient. You go to the grocery store, it's no longer just a quick run and you grab something and come back out. I like what somebody posted on Facebook recently. My wife was showing me that, showed a picture of a grocery store with the shelves full and said something like it was a throwback to February. How our lives are not as they have ever been. In my lifetime, I don't ever remember being like this. I know that there are some that have lived through times like this before. But in my lifetime, I have no recollection of ever walking into a grocery store and seeing shelves so empty. I have no recollection of going to a grocery store and day after day having almost like a run on the grocery stores and masses of people trying to scurry in and get all they can. There is something that is to be said about a faith that is being lived out loud that is going to continue on doing what the Lord has called us to do. Even though it's going to be a sacrifice, even though there's going to be some pressure, even though we may be the loser, so to speak, here on this earth, we've got to have the faith out loud as the Church of Ephesus did and find ways to do so. Find ways to do this even this week, even if it's just we only go out one time this week and we've got to run and get some milk. Find a way to live out your faith, your confidence in your God, even when the rest of the world has lost their minds. Find a way to show others the foundation upon which we stand. But he continues on in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, he continues on, not only a noisy faith, but an obvious love, he says, and your love unto all the saints. Now John points out in the epistles of John that to know God is to know love. To not know love is to not know God. And therefore, ultimately, they always will follow hand in hand. If I'm going to accomplish a noisy faith, this is what will be the result. I am going to have an obvious love. If my love is limited, it's probably not because of a lack of my God in me. It's probably a lack of my patience, my endurance, my laboring and continuing on. Maybe it's a lack of my discernment and understanding what is right and what is wrong and understanding what is truth and what is not. But they go hand in hand. The more that I'm committed to following my God, the automatic result is going to be a greater love for those around me. An obvious love. Now, as we, again, go to the grocery stores, this isn't across the board. There are certainly exceptions, and I'm thankful for this. But as you go out and about in limited fashions, can we not see those that are only about themselves? Is it not becoming even more evident at times, the carnality of our hearts, when people are living for nothing more than me? And their shopping habits are proving it. The way they interact with others is proving it. What an opportunity that we have to live out an obvious love. It would be great if Paul were still here today and be able to write to this church. Would it be the Ephesians? I don't know how you would call that for us. The Tulanians. Tulanian chapter 1, verse 15, to be able to say, hey, I've heard about your faith and your love that is so obvious to others. May we live out that kind of life that this church lived out. Now, we know the very next verse in Revelation. If you go back to Revelation chapter 2, after commending them for their works and commending them for their endurance, commending them for their discernment, the very next verse says, yet I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, as far as the prophecy of time goes, at what time did that happen or will it happen? I think there may be great disagreement. It seems to me that if the Lord's return is near on the horizon, I think that as a global church, kind of putting us all together, boy, it's easy for us to be living in that time frame. We've left our first love. Can we live out such a life that it is an obvious love? And can I make it this, as I have there on the screen, if you can even see that? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, kind of my summary. It is difficult to keep obvious love. It is obviously something that the church of Ephesus is commended for here in chapter 1, but then they're rebuked for it in Revelation chapter 2. At some point, that which was a commendation for them here was something that they were rebuked because they had lost it. They had left it. It was no longer evident. They had become sidetracked. They become maybe discouraged. I would dare say that there was something that happened that allowed them to do that, that brought them to that point. But may we guard against it. May we not think that we're better than they, that our love will just by nature continue on and speak loudly before us. But may we have a commitment even today. I want to have an obvious love. Verse 15. Then we jump to verse 16. Paul says these words. Well, it's the middle of a sentence, so let me again go back to verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I'm gonna call this because we're going from first person to third person back to first person. I'm trying to keep all the persons in the right order here. But we need to have a noisy faith, we need to have an obvious love, but we also need to have and understand that we have a silent need. And here's how we can be living out a faith that is out loud. Here's how we can continue to have a love that is obvious to those around us. Here's how we as a church can continue on. Here's how we can continue on in our discernment, even when we're not able to be together and be challenged and iron sharpening iron. Here's how we can accomplish this by the grace of God. We all need to be Paul's. Because we all have a silent need, as Paul is pointing out, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This verse is not one where Paul is saying, because of what you did in verse 15, you are now worthy to be on my prayer list. He's not saying, because you have reached the status of an A-plus church, I will allow you to, well, I'm gonna put you on my prayer list now. And all the other churches that are around you, yeah, they're not quite there yet. But you've hit the prayer list status for Paul. No, what Paul, I believe, is saying here, on the contrary, is saying this. Because you have a noisy faith and because your love is obvious, it increases my need to pray for you. It increases my importance of having somebody praying for you that you might continue to live that out. A silent need. And certainly as we close here in just a minute, certainly I want to challenge us to pray for one another. I know that sounds trite. I know that sounds simple. And I'm not just talking about praying for the requests as we had there on the screen, although I'm certainly not asking you to stop praying for that. But we have got to be committed to praying to one another during this time, because it is going to be easy. It will be all too easy not to live out an out loud kind of faith. It is going to be all too easy to allow our love to begin to dwindle. It will be all too easy to begin to lower our discernment in what is right and what is wrong. And can I challenge each one of us that we will be a Paul, that we will be one that says, I will cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because each one of us, I know I need it. Every one of us, we're not able to gather like we once did. I hope that we can continue on interacting, even on social media or through text or whatever. But we're not able to continue on as we did before. Unless we lose ground, so to speak. Unless we take a huge step back in our journey with our God, we've got to be committed to praying for one another. Not just our needs, not just our health, not just all the temporary material things of here on this earth, but certainly there are many. But we have got to be committed to praying for one another. And in fact, even to the point where Paul says, I cease not. Because now is the time to live out our faith out loud. Now is the time that we don't have the opportunity to say, maybe tomorrow. Today is the day that we don't have the opportunity to say, maybe next week. We've got to be living out a noisy faith. A noisy faith for our God in the midst of a very noisy, distracted world. We've got to be continuing on in our love for one another, even if things just are not going right or seemingly going fair. Do we continue to have an obvious love for not just the body of Christ, which is the importance here of this verse, but the reminder that of for all, as Christ has loved us. And then certainly, just a reminder, number one, that not a single one of us, myself included, is so important that we don't need help in prayer. None of us are so unshakable and unmovable that we don't have a need even in this day that someone is praying for us. And may we be also on the other side of the coin, humble enough to realize not only does someone need to be praying for me, and we need that prayer, but I've got to be praying for others. We've got to be praying for our walk and our journey here in these next 2 weeks. Well, really, today and the next two Sundays are still within the time frame that we have to stay home. So today and the next two Sundays, at minimum, and I suspect that's going to get, unfortunately, even extended, but at minimum, we've got to be praying for one another that we continue to have a faith that is out loud and a love that is obvious, because we are going to be walking like Paul and ceasing not to pray for each other. May we do that. Life is going to get overwhelming, perhaps. We don't know what the day, the month, the week may hold. We don't know how quickly this virus will be stopped here in this nation. We don't know how many of us will get affected by it, and we don't know how many of our loved ones will potentially lose their life because of this. We don't know any of those details now, but we have an opportunity today to continue on living out our faith out loud. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. I thank you for these verses, again, written from a man who was separated from the rest of the church. Certainly not just the church of Ephesus, but so many other churches as well. I just pray that you'd remind us of the truths in that time frame and how applicable they are to our very moment today. And I just pray that you give us that strength, give us the boldness, give us the encouragement to continuing on for you. That these days, these weeks will not be means of a plateau in our walk, or even, unfortunately, at times, a decline in our walk, but that we continue striving forward for you. And I pray that we commit to praying for each other even more fervently, even ceaselessly, as Paul states, knowing the importance of us to be able to accomplish this in such a time as this. And I just pray that you'd use us as you see fit and give us a courage and strength as well. I just ask that you would just accomplish your will in our hearts and lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. We obviously don't have a closing song because it's just us. I think my wife will be playing music as we close out the service. But just a quick reminder, if you need something, please let us know. I certainly encourage you to make contact with social distance and interact with others to the point that we can, to encourage each other to live for our God today.